Mark chapter 7, and if you will allow me, I would like to revisit last Sunday night's text regarding Christ's healing of a deaf man and expand on vital gospel truths that were touched on only briefly that deserve more time and consideration. I often liken preaching or the study in preparing for preaching to a gold miner searching for gold. As we go into God's Word, and the psalmist tells us, David tells us that the Word is more precious than silver, more costly than gold. We understand that the eternal truths of God's Word is that which is precious. And as a preacher, we want to allow God's Word to shine before the hearts of men. We want to hold out the preciousness of the gospel, and we want to deliver that truth in a great way. But as we mine to prepare for preaching, as we sift through the sands of Scripture, so to speak, looking for the gold nuggets, looking for those practical truths, there are some times that you sift looking for the gold, but you are mentally fatigued. And there are sometimes, as a preacher, that you search and cut away at the walls looking for those gems when you have been occupied with other responsibilities in the week. So I feel as if I didn't do justice to this wonderful text on Sunday night, and so I'd like to revisit with you tonight. Mark chapter 7, verses 31 through 37. The Bible says, "And again, departing from the coasts of Tyre and Sidon, he, Jesus, came into the Sea of Galilee through the midst of the coasts of Decapolis. And they bring unto him one that was deaf and had an impediment in his speech. And they beseech him to put his hand upon him. And he took him aside from the multitude and put his fingers into his ears, and he spit and touched his tongue. And looking up to heaven, he sighed and saith unto him, Ephphatha, that is, be opened. And straightway his ears were opened, and the string of his tongue was loosed, and he spake plain. And he charged them that they should tell no man, but the more he charged them, so much the more a great deal they published it, and were beyond measure astonished, saying, He hath done all things well. He maketh both the deaf to hear and the dumb to speak." As I have mentioned previously, the miracles of Christ that are mentioned in the Gospels are mentioned not to entertain us, but to educate us. And Jesus healing the blind and the deaf, raising the dead, were given not so that we might ooh and ah regarding what Christ can do for others, but so that we can see what Christ can do for us through the message of the gospel. It was not the main purpose of God to record various healings in the Bible so that we might be ecstatic for others, but that we might have the gospel of Christ, which is the power of God unto salvation, expounded and explained to us more thoroughly. So all the healing miracles of Christ in the gospels are illustrations regarding how God saves a soul. The blind that see, the lepers that are cleansed, the paralytics who walk, the dead who are raised to life are recorded so that we might learn something regarding the new birth. And again, we remember that the one main theme of the Bible is salvation. From Genesis to Revelation, if we could boil up one main topic in which God wants the world to understand, it is the redemption through Christ. It is how sinful men can be made right with a holy God. And it's no wonder why the Gospels are then filled with illustrations of Christ healing those who are sick and lame and paralyzed. Because those instances teach us how God comes to man, how God approaches sinners, and how God awakens sinners to salvation. So in the occasion of this deaf man being brought to Christ, we have first a portrait of man's spiritual deafness. And Jesus, on his preaching tour and his earthly ministry, comes to the coasts of Tyre and Sidon. He comes to the Sea of Galilee in the midst of the coast of Decapolis. And as he is preaching and as he is expounding biblical truths to his disciples, others in the surrounding communities are approaching him, knowing that he is the Messiah and desiring that he would show mercy to those that they know. And so there are those in this region who know Jesus to be a miracle worker. They know Jesus to be the Messiah who has come, who has power in his hands, and they bring to him this man who is deaf. He cannot hear. He lives in silence. And just as this man could not hear the birds singing, the waves of the sea crashing on the shore, beautiful music skillfully played by a musician, or the voice of family or friends, so those who are spiritually deaf cannot hear the powerful truths of God revealed in the Bible. So we see something in this deaf man that illustrates all men who are separated from God. We see in this deaf man a picture of man's nature. All men are naturally deaf to that which is spiritually true. And we could go through the list and explain these more thoroughly. And we would say that man is deaf to who God is. Those who profess themselves to be atheists are deaf to the existence of God. The Bible says the heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth his handiwork. As we see the beauty of the sunrise and the beauty of the sunset, as we consider the order of the universe, we see that there is a creator behind this creation. There's a God of order, that all of that which we see does not come by chaos. But those who profess themselves to be atheists are deaf to who God is. Those who adhere to a theory of a Big Bang regarding the existence of all things, or those who adhere to the theory of evolution, are deaf spiritually to the first verse of the Bible. The first verse of the Bible, Genesis chapter 1, verse 1. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. But they're deaf to that. Those who profess to be deists are deaf to the communicative attributes of God. There are those who believe in a creator but do not believe him to be relational with his creation. There are those who believe that God created all things and then stepped back and left all things to just work its way. There are those in our society who refer to God as the big man upstairs or the higher power. Those who profess to be monotheistic, such as Jews and Muslims, are deaf to the exclusivity of God. They do not know him as the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the one and only true and living God, who is the Creator God, one in essence and three in persons, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, who is the God of the Bible. They're deaf to who God is. How did Paul see man refer to God in Athens? You remember when Paul went to Athens, he tells us that the citizens were ignorantly worshiping the unknown God, teaching us that they were deaf to who God is. And if we were to travel the world, we would see this truth to be true. The world at large does not know God as God. The world worships the sun, the moon, the stars, the creation, a God of their own making. So man is deaf to who God is. But man is also deaf to what God has said. Man is deaf to God's revelation, namely the Word of God. We believe this to be the pure, perfect truth. But the world would mock us. We believe this to be that which has been given by inspiration of God and is profitable for all things. But man is deaf to God's revelation. The world enjoys reading books about historical events. They read romantic novels, biographies, autobiographies, and different types of fictional books. But man will not give his heart to know what God has said through His Word because man does not naturally seek God through the revelation of His Word. He's deaf. The world says the Bible is a book written by man. The Bible is a book filled with contradictions. It's an antiquated book that helps others feel good. It's a therapeutic book that helps those who are having problems. It's not God's Word. And so they don't read it. They're deaf. Not only is man deaf to what God has said, man is deaf to who they are. Man is deaf to the reality of his sinful heart. Man does not naturally think that his heart is deceitful and desperately wicked. Rather, he thinks that his heart is good, even the worst of men. As I've told you, I've had opportunity to preach and teach in jails and to preach and teach at Skid Row, at 5th and Crocker, down at the Emmanuel Baptist Rescue Mission, and you hear the history and the past actions of certain men, and we can tell you by all standards that it is wicked and perverse and ungodly and selfish, and yet those men proclaim that they are good people deserving of heaven. They're deaf, you see. You can hold the mirror of God's Word in front of their eyes, and yet they will deny it. Man is deaf to his rebellion against God. He's deaf to his guilt. He does not believe that because of his unbelief, the wrath of God abides over him, as John chapter 3, 36 tells us. He does not believe that because of his unbelief, he is on his way to hell. They do not believe that they are prisoners to Satan. Man naturally believes that he is deserving of heaven rather than hell. Man is deaf to who they are. And then man is deaf to the reality of death. They are deaf to the coming judgment. They are deaf to the truth that we will all give an account before God one day. And if they do believe that we will give an account to God, they believe that they will be received into heaven. What are those three words we often see next to headstones, or rather those three letters that we see next to headstones? R.I.P. Rest in peace. The world believes at large that all men will rest in peace. Despite what you have done, all men will rest in peace. There's a universal optimism that all people will be accepted before God because God is love. They're deaf to who they are. They're deaf to the Word. They're deaf regarding the reality of life. And then with all these things, certainly they're also deaf to their need of Christ. And apart from the convicting work of the Spirit, all men see themselves as whole, with no need of a Savior. Individuals in our world proclaim that their own religion will lead them to heaven. People of this world trust in their own goodness and their own religious works to make them right with God. And man is deaf to Christ's love, to Christ's mercy. He's deaf to Christ's grace. And you've been there before at the door of those who are well off, knocking on their door, telling them that you have a message of good news. You have the message of Christ, which is able to deliver them from sin. And often the response is, what do I need Christ for? I have a beautiful home. I have nice cars. I have a good job. I have wonderful children. I go on vacations often. What do I need Christ? They're deaf. And this is no surprise. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14 tells us that the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them because they are spiritually discerned. Summary, man is spiritually deaf. He cannot hear. He cannot understand that which is spiritual. He does not naturally have a desire to do God's will. Man naturally lives for himself. He lives for the pleasure of this life. He takes pleasure in immoral relationships, perverse movies, alcohol, drugs, sports, music, money, fame, and material possessions. This is what our world delights in. This is what our world converses about. And that's because the world is spiritually deaf. Don't we see this in our evangelistic efforts? In the past 3 years of going door to door in our community, we have handed out thousands of invitations, thousands of gospel tracts, and we have talked to hundreds of people. And yet Sunday comes and we don't see others coming to seek the Lord. We have yet to receive a thank you note in the mail from a community member expressing their thanks for taking the time to come speak to them about their soul. Many church members are active in inviting the lost to come to our Christmas services and our Easter services so that they might hear the word of the Lord and come to a saving knowledge of Christ, and our services are filled with empty pews. Why is this? Man is deaf. This is not solely the instance of our church alone. This is true of most churches. Yet, when people get invitations on their phone or television to go to Walmart, Target, Best Buy on Black Friday, and great deals are spoken on television sets and video games, what do? People flock by the thousands and tens of thousands to get their possessions. The latest blockbuster hit comes out. People are camping outside of the theaters to watch the blockbuster hit. When it's Super Bowl Sunday, our society shuts down and plants itself in front of a big screen, and yet we don't see such zeal toward the house of God. Why? Because man is spiritually deaf. Now, it's important that we understand there are two kinds of spiritually deaf people in this world. There are those who are non-religiously deaf and those who are religiously deaf. The non-religiously deaf are those who have no affiliation with anything religious. That is, they do not attend a place of worship. They do not read the Bible or any religious book. They may be atheists or agnostic who believe in no God, or that God is not personal. Or they may be those who claim to believe in some sort of higher being, but they do not live according to any spiritual standard. And the religiously deaf are those who believe in God, and they have attended in the past or presently attend a place of worship. They may pray, perform religious works, various sorts. They may adhere, at least in some way, to some sort of religious standard. But both the non-religious deaf and the religious deaf are equally deaf. Both are not true believers if they are deaf. Consider all those who were religious in the Bible, who heard and knew the message of the gospel, who remained spiritually deaf. Judas was deaf. But Judas heard. Judas heard God incarnate. Judas saw the miracles of Christ. He heard the authoritative preaching of the Lord. He knew the scriptures and he preached the scriptures, yet he was deaf. Nicodemus was deaf. By all accounts, we see Nicodemus as a kind, moral man. We know that Nicodemus was a great teacher in Israel. He was profound. He surely had an intellect. He knew the scriptures. He knew the ways of God as expounded in the Old Testament. He was an expert of the law, yet he was deaf. And coming to Christ by night, he is coming to an understanding that he is deaf and that he needs to hear. Israel was deaf. Christ came to his own, and his own received him not. Israel saw Jesus raise the dead. heal the diseased, feed thousands from 5 loaves and 2 fishes, and yet Israel cried out for his crucifixion. They were deaf. James, the half-brother of Jesus, was deaf. You remember, James did not come to faith in Christ until after the resurrection. So here is James, who grew up with the Messiah. Never once did Jesus sin. Never once did Jesus become angry or vicious or lose his temper. Never once did he proclaim a foul word out of his mouth. And James surely would have seen something unique regarding the person of Christ. And yet James was deaf. The Pharisees were deaf. They proclaimed that they heard. They were those who said that they saw, but Jesus said they were the blind leading the blind. And the chief of Pharisees, the Apostle Paul, the Pharisees of the Pharisees, was deaf. Religious, but deaf. In the parable of the sower, we see 3 out of 4 people hear the word of God, but only one takes root and produces fruit. So 3 out of 4 people are religious in that they hear the word, they contemplate it, but they are deaf. Matthew chapter 7, Jesus says, "Many will say to me in that day, 'Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? In thy name cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works.' And then will I profess unto them, 'I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity.'" What is Jesus proclaiming? He's proclaiming that many are spiritually deaf. Now, these many biblical examples teach us one important truth. One may be spiritually deaf and appear to others that they hear. Religiously deaf people don't know that they are deaf. I'm sure Judas thought he heard. Nicodemus thought he heard. Obviously, Matthew 7, the many on that day of judgment thought they heard. The Pharisees thought they knew truth. And they were accusing Jesus of not knowing truth. Religiously deaf people think that they can hear. And this is true across the board. Mormons, Jehovah's Witness, Catholics, Buddhists, Hindus, Muslims, Presbyterians, Lutherans, Methodists, and Baptists. In all these circles, there are those who are religiously deaf. They go through the motions of Christianity or motions of religion, and yet they do not know the Lord. Having a form of God or a form of godliness, they deny the power thereof. So just because someone professes Christ, reads their Bibles, prays, goes to church regularly, graduated from a Christian school or college, does not mean that they are alive in Jesus Christ. We need to understand that. And the Bible is filled with those who are religiously deaf, and we need to take heed to the consistency of why God exposes this truth throughout Scripture. Then we need to understand regarding man's deafness that man in his deafness is completely unable to make himself hear. That is the first truth of salvation. In theology, it's referred to as man's inability. If you want an illustration regarding this, the next time you see somebody who cannot hear, the next time you see somebody performing sign language to another individual, I want you to go up to that individual and I want you to tell them to start hearing. Just go to them and tell them, knock it off with this deafness, knock it off with the sign language and just start hearing. Think they can do it? Tell the deaf man to make himself hear. It's futile. And it's not only futile, it's foolish. It's against common sense. That would be cruel. That would be mean. A deaf man cannot make himself hear. And likewise, the blind man cannot make himself see. The paralyzed man cannot make himself walk. And the dead man cannot make himself live. Now again, we take all these physical truths and then we look at the scripture regarding these miracles. And that's what Christ is trying to bring to our minds. We cannot make ourselves Christian. We cannot make ourselves to be born again or born from above. That which is born of flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. It is the Spirit that quickens, the flesh provides nothing. Ezekiel said to the dry bones, "Let there be life." He spoke the word, and there was life. Those dry bones did not give themselves life. It was through the power of God. So spiritual life is not merely a switch that man can turn on and turn off. Just as the deaf man could not decide to hear, so those who are spiritually deaf, blind, and dead cannot simply decide to be born again apart from the power of God working in their hearts. That's why John 1:13 says, "Sinners are born again not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. Salvation is of the Lord." John 6:44, "No man can come to Christ except the Father draw him." That's the portrait of man's depravity. He is deaf. And we look at this man. He cannot heal himself. Others cannot heal him. And so what do these kind people do? They lead him to Christ. They lead him to the one who can heal. And now we see a portrait of Christ's deliverance. And so this deaf man who could not hear comes to Christ. Christ takes him aside from the multitude, puts his finger into his ears, touches his tongue, looks up to heaven, and says, "Be opened." And straightway his ears were opened. And the string of his tongue was loosed, and he spake plain. He was a new man. Christ did that which is impossible for man to do, and that's salvation. That which is impossible with men is possible with God. Christ's ability conquers man's inability. The Creator who spoke a word and caused all things to come from nothing has the power to give spiritual life to the one who has been spiritually dead. When Christ says, "Let there be light," there is light. When Christ said, "Ephatha, be open," straightway his ears were open. When Christ said to Lazarus, "Lazarus, come forth," straightway Lazarus came forth. What is that? That's regeneration. That's the Holy Spirit of God bringing life into a man. And that's what salvation is. That's what the gospel is. Do you see? It's not adhering to a church. It's not being baptized. It's not giving, but it's being brought to life. It's a birth. A baby does not birth itself. How many of you birthed yourselves? Raise your hand. How many of you conceived yourself? Raise your hand. Nobody. Don't you see these pictures of life and these pictures of spiritual life? We need to be born again. Christ gives deliverance to this man. And Hebrews 7:25 says, "He, the high priest, Jesus, is able also to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them." Paul says, "I know whom I have believed and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. Not I'm able. I'm able to keep that. No. He says, God is able. So we see Christ's ability to save. And then we see in this illustration Christ's willingness to save. The deaf man brought to Christ was not turned away. Christ did not say, "I'm too busy." Christ did not say, "Come back next week." Christ had compassion. He was a good shepherd. He was moved inwardly. Christ delights in mercy. Christ does not take pleasure in the death of the wicked. The blind men who came to Christ were not turned away. The 10 lepers who came to Christ were not rejected. The publican who cried out for mercy went to his house justified. And Jesus says in John 6, all who come to him, he will in no wise cast out. Is Jesus willing to save me? Some ponder. Well, I've sinned too much. Well, I don't know if I can escape this dungeon of unbelief. Can Christ save? See here that Christ is able and he's willing to save if we come to him. If we individually, in our hearts, plead for Christ to save, he will save. You see, this was an individual instance. He took this man aside and he focused on him. And that's what Christ does in salvation. Christ doesn't just give a blanket salvation to Calvary Baptist Church. Christ doesn't just give a blanket salvation to the left side of Calvary Baptist Church or to the right side of Calvary Baptist Church. It's individual. It's personal. And all of us must personally come to Christ, and all of us must personally be touched by the power of Christ. You see, it's not, well, my mom was a Christian. My dad was a Christian. My grandpa was a Baptist preacher, and so I'm okay. No, every sinner needs to be personally touched by the Lord Jesus Christ if he is going to be saved. And then we see Christ's method of saving, verse 33. Christ took this deaf man aside from the multitude, and he performed that which is unique to us, that which is mysterious to us. In past healings, Christ has spoken the word, and it was done. But in this healing, Christ took him aside, put his fingers in his ear, and touched his tongue. And we learn here that Christ has the power to change the hearts of men in the privacy of their home, just as well under the public preaching of the word. He is not tied to one way of working. Christ has the power to change man's heart by a simple gospel tract or a weighty Christian book. Christ has the power to awaken men, women, boys, and girls as he pleases, when he pleases. Christ is not tied to a church service. He is not tied to an altar call. He is not tied to one particular version of the Bible. He is not tied to one particular soul-winning method. Christ brings sinners to himself in various ways, and we praise the Lord for that. Maybe you're here tonight without Christ. I cannot assume that all who are here and come to hear the message of the Bible actually have ears to hear spiritually. If there was a Judas in 12, how many among 50? How many among 75? How many among 100? And that's why I plead, and that's why I press these things. If there was a Nicodemus in Israel who knew a lot, who others were not concerned about spiritually, surely there's a Nicodemus that rubs shoulders with us week after week, who knows a lot, who wears the religious garments, yet who do not hear. If that's you, today is the day of salvation. Now is the accepted time. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. Let me conclude by exhorting the faithful soul winners among us with five practical encouragements from this text. The first one I see is this: don't be shocked. Don't be shocked. What do I mean? Don't be shocked by the deafness of the world. Don't be shocked by the ignorance of the lost. Don't be shocked at the resistance of unbelievers. I hear Christians often in a frantic state saying, I can't believe what so-and-so politician is doing. I can't believe our country is giving way to abortion and homosexuality and anti-God philosophies. I can't believe that people are shooting up schools and churches. Why can't you believe it? Jesus told us men are evil. Remember, from within, out of the heart of man, proceed evil thoughts, adulteries, fornications, murders, thefts, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lasciviousness, an evil eye, blasphemy, pride, and foolishness. In other words, deaf people are going to act like deaf people. that we as a country have been clothed in a slim garment of morality for a time. Underneath that slim garment of morality is a heart of wickedness. So don't be shocked. The world will act like the world because the world is under their father, the devil, and they will pursue the will of their father, the devil. And when you witness for Christ and you're rejected and you're ridiculed and you're treated rudely, don't be shocked. When you go door to door witnessing and you're cussed out and you have the door slammed on your face, don't be shocked. The world says with Pharaoh, "Who is the Lord that I should obey him? He's not my master. He's not my God. He's not the one in authority. Who is he to demand of me?" We must not be shocked also at those who at one time claimed to follow Christ and then abandoned him later, like Demas, who forsook Paul for the world. The religious deaf are always among us. Jesus says the tares are among the wheat. John said they went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would no doubt have continued with us. But they went out that they might be made manifest that they were not all of us. And if you stick around long enough, there will be those heartaches that you endure. People who have come to the services, people who have opened the Bible, people who have said amen, people who have served in various ministries, who then end up headlong in the world. Don't be shocked. Number two, don't get frustrated. In our witnessing endeavors, we will invite people to come to church, knowing that faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. You know the pastor's heart and preaching evangelistically, and so you invite your co-workers and your neighbors and you desire them to come so that they might hear the message of salvation. And then you say, "Well, why don't they come to church? I invited them. They said they were going to come, and they didn't. They promised." You buy them a Bible. You buy them a book. They don't read it. And you say, "Why don't they read it? I sacrificed, I gave." The world continues in their foolish ways. They continue in their sin and unbelief. And then you respond, "How could someone be so foolish? How can someone be so careless towards spiritual things?" And we must remember not to get frustrated because the world is spiritually deaf. And listen, and such were some of you. We need to remember that at one time we were deaf. At one time we came to church, but we did not hear. We just wanted the service to be over. We were going to please somebody else. We remember those faithful soul winners who came to our door and we were rude and sent them away. We remember at one time we were headlong in the world doing the pleasures of Satan. We did not hear, and we did not know, and then Christ brought us to Himself, and we need to be patient with those who are deaf. Remember the disciples, when they come to Christ, they say, "Christ, this town is not receiving you. Would you just call down fire from heaven?" Christ, they're deaf. Would you just destroy them? And Jesus says, "You don't know what kind of spirit you're of." Jesus could have said, "And such were some of you. And I sought after you." So be patient. Be patient with others because others were patient with you. Don't be shocked. Don't get frustrated. Don't get discouraged. It's easy to get discouraged when you preach to the deaf and the deaf are deaf. And they do not hear, and they will not hear, and they're willfully deaf. And they resist with stubborn and hard hearts, and you weep for their souls, and you're pouring all that you can to lead them to the Savior. And Jesus does not want us to get discouraged. We need to remember that Jesus went to His own people, His own nation, And many rejected his message. Many. By business standards, we would think Jesus to be a failure. Here's God in the flesh. How many numbers does he have? Well, we look at John 6 and we see that many forsook him. They were only there for a meal and their bellies were filled. The Jews cried out for his crucifixion. All the disciples forsook him. They went back to fishing. Don't get discouraged. Carry on. Eventually, the deaf will hear. The gospel will be the power of God unto salvation. Christ will save. And we have the encouragement of Acts 18, Paul in Corinth. Discouraged because others were blaspheming the name of God and resisting his message, but Paul persevered. After the Lord appeared unto him in a vision by night, Paul, don't be discouraged. Keep preaching. Open your mouth. I am with you. I have much people in the city. There are deaf people in Corinth, but by your labors, people will hear. Don't get discouraged. Number four, don't marry a method. Jesus took this man aside and worked with him differently than others. He could have spoken a word. But he chose to stick his fingers in his ear and touch his tongue. So this teaches us, we too must not be married to a method. And there are those who think door knocking is the only way to witness to the lost. It's a great way. We have the freedom to do it. And while we have the freedom to do it, I say, let's do it. But is that the only way? There are those who say open air preaching is the only way to do it. That's how Paul did it. That's how the disciples did it. That's how Jesus did it. And you are not spiritual if you don't do it this way. And there are those who have gospel tracts and particular types of gospel tracts who think that they're the best tracts. And there are different tactics of talking with others. And there are those who go through the Ten Commandments by showing the law. And then there are those who adhere to four spiritual laws. But all these methods are useful. God can use them all. And we need to understand it's not the method that saves, it is Christ that saves. And so we preach Christ crucified because by preaching him, others come to know the Lord. And then number five, don't stop praying and pursuing after souls. Verse 32, the Bible says, they bring unto him one that was deaf. We do not know who they were. Their names are not given. It could have been family members, friends, close neighbors, mere acquaintances, or strangers. All we know is that those who brought this deaf man to Christ were those who had pity toward his condition. If this deaf man did not have such affectionate help, he would have continued living in his deafness. So the world needs us to bring them to Christ in our prayers for them. The world needs us. Those who are deaf need us. Though they do not understand, they need us. They need us to bring them the message of hope through the person and work of Jesus Christ. And it doesn't matter if our names are mentioned. These names are not mentioned. It's not about our glory. It's not about our honor. As long as sinners come to know Christ and the angels of God rejoice and God then is glorified, that's all that matters. He must increase. We must decrease. We are only unprofitable servants in the Lord's work. And so we seek to glorify His name as we pray and pursue after souls. Gospel parallels regarding the miracle of one who was deaf.